This is just a way, hypnosis is just a way of helping you access your emotions so that you can create change where the behavior began. And it's not mind control, it's not woo-woo or voodoo. It is simply a technique to help you create that change.
I'm Rachel, and you're listening to the Owning Your Sexual Self podcast. Hey everyone, welcome back for another episode of Owning Your Sexual Self. Thank you so much for continuing to tune in. I know that episodes have been a little sporadic here and there, with just life changes that are going on over here. I'm opening up my own private practice here for sex therapy and sex education here locally in Michigan. So it's been a lot of a lot of changes, a lot of wild rides over here, ups and downs, and really just focusing on my one-on-one clients, which had the podcast has like taken just a little brief pauses here and there, but just as today, every now and then I have some guests that reach out to me and say, "Hey, I think that I would be a great fit on your podcast," or "I have so and so that would be a great fit on your podcast," which I always appreciate. Those people that find their way to me like this, they always just seem to be the most perfect fit. So today we have on the show Kate Scheller. I hope that I'm saying her last name right. She'll correct us when she jumps on here if needed. But Kate is a hypnotherapist, which is something that has been on my curiosity list, or like a list of things that I want to add to my repertoire. And I'm really excited to talk more with her about this. We've had a hypnotherapist on before, but it's been a while. So I'm excited to speak with this for with her. So again, Kate is a hypnotherapist, a subconscious reprogramming expert, and a relationship coach. And she teaches how the subconscious rules the bodies and how that relates to fear, pleasure, shame, habits, self-limiting beliefs, and more. And the same brain and body connection drives human behavior. And once you understand this, you can really use it to leverage it in the bedroom, the boardroom, and even on your sales calls. So she really helps people to learn how to make people that they're interacting with say that, "Oh, hell yes," in all aspects of their life. So I'm really excited again to dive more into this conversation with her. So we are going to be discussing things around hypnotherapy and how that can help improve your relationships and your life. We might touch on open relationships and polyamory. We'll see. But also, I want to really focus on this episode too, talking about overcoming sexual trauma or healing from abuse even. April, when we're recording this, April is actually Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So if you're listening to this in real time, this is on brand with the theme of the world right now. And then she also, we might get into this, but she also talks about sexless marriages. If we don't get into this, I think this is another topic that I can record solely on. So we're gonna go with that. And really, but specifically, how taking sex off of the table can actually resolve your sex life. And this is funny because when I bring this up to clients, they're like, "Wait, what? Like, my sex therapist is telling me not to have sex? Why make this make sense? I don't understand. I'm here to actually have better and more sex. So why are you telling me not to have it at all?" So we'll put a pin on that for now. But as I'm literally recording this right now, I'm like, let me add that to my list of topics to be able to record once I get back to recording more full time. So anyways, without further ado, our guest is in the waiting room. So let's have her join us, shall we? All right, Kate, all the way from Las Vegas. How exciting
Yes.
to live the fun life over there in Vegas. Thanks.
Yes. Well, believe it or not, we also have regular life. I know people only think of the strip, but we also have, schools and malls. We have a boring side too.
Ah, okay. So you don't just gamble and drink and go to shows all the time then.
Yeah, I don't think I could live here very long if that is all I did. It would be a
Yeah.
short stay.
That's awesome. And I'm just curious, are you originally from there, or did you move there?
I'm not from Las Vegas. So many people are transplants in Las Vegas, and I am also. I lived in LA before that for about almost 9 years, and then but I'm from the East Coast. I'm originally from, I would say, the Maryland area, but we moved around a lot, so it's hard for me to I moved 19 times before I graduated high school, so
Oh, okay.
I don't feel like I'm from anywhere really. But I love Las Vegas and I've been living here since about 2013. 15, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very fun. Well, so you have a lot of life experiences, which is probably, and moving, we're going to touch a little bit on trauma here, and like moving itself can be traumatic, especially at young ages. But you are, so you're a hypnotherapist, which is, as I was recording your intro, something that I've been very curious about. I've had somebody else on the show that was a hypnotherapist previously, but also on my personal list of things that I want to look into as well. So would love to hear just a little bit about your story and kind of what got you into that, and then also relating this to intimacy and relationships.
Absolutely. So it's been a little bit of a winding journey, as it is for many people in their career. I was personally interested in originally hypnosis on stage, like a doing a performing sort of comedy hypnosis, like you might see at a show here on the Strip in Las Vegas. Because I had always been a theater person, I was a performer, I used to tour in shows, and I always thought hypnosis was really interesting. I'd known a lot of hypnotists and seen them work on stage. And I was always like, what is that about? It really piqued my curiosity. And so I took a class, an in-person class. First, I took a 101 class. Then I took a stage hypnosis class that was very involved. And I was learning a lot more about hypnosis. And on the last day of the class, the teacher took one student up front. And well, he asked, would anyone like to do some hypnotherapy live in front of the class? Is there anything anybody is feeling brave about? And one woman who had this absolute deathly fear, phobia of cats, and she would have panic attacks. She didn't know why. And it affected her whole life. She used to do home visits for a job. And so whenever they would have a cat, she literally wouldn't be able to go into the home, and it would be a thing that ruins her day, her job. So she went up, and he did a session, one session with her, and she was in a highly emotional state. She was crying, she was going back through very early memories, and it was just such a powerful process. And when it was over, she felt so good. And she left the class and immediately went to an animal shelter with her husband and went and held a bunch of cats and sent pictures.
Wow.
And the whole process was so powerful that that moment changed everything for me. I realized then, I was like, that's what I want to do. And then so that shifted my course, and I got into hypnotherapy and became a clinical hypnotherapist. And during that process, I assumed that I was going to be doing what everyone does, mostly working on things like, smoking and weight loss and the typical things people go to a hypnotherapist for. And but at the same time, in my personal life, I was using the techniques on myself to deal with something I had an issue with my entire life, which was orgasms. I had struggled to have orgasms with another person for my whole life. I mean, as long as I was having them, I wasn't able to have one with another person. And this had affected my life a lot, how I felt about myself, my confidence. And I had tried lots of kinds of therapy. I'd read books, I'd gotten toys, I'd watched the TED Talks, and I learned a lot, but it still didn't help me change. And that's where I was just at that point, I had given up. And then once I started doing hypnotherapy, I had a breakthrough and I was able to orgasm with another person. And it was very profound and powerful. And I just kind of made a leap on my social media and I started talking about it. And I just started talking about sex a little bit, but in my own personal story. And all of a sudden, people were just messaging and messaging and messaging, men and women, saying that they struggle with, erections, orgasms, past trauma, body confidence issues, tons of shame. And that's when it really clicked for me that this was the direction I wanted to go. Because I think people feel like they don't have a place to talk about sexuality, and they have a lot of shame, especially with religious, cultural groups sometimes can come with a lot of shame. And so I wanted to make a community. I wanted to start talking about it. And I really just put it all out there. And that's when I started seeing clients really almost exclusively about issues related to sexuality. And then the business just took off. I've been doing this for years. And I make lots of educational content, new videos every day, just trying to teach people more about their subconscious as a tool for change.
And I think one thing I like about hypnotherapy too, like you said, you do this clinically. So it's not, you're not putting somebody under hypnosis, right? Like teaching them, because I know people have a lot of fear around doing hypnotherapy. And even people are skeptical about it. I know myself, I was skeptical when I've gone to shows and things like that and seen them, like there's just no way, right? And so I wanted to ask you, like, you already said you've done self-practice, so you yourself have done hypnotherapy, so you know, right, like how transformational this can be in it. And do you think that somebody could do this work if they went into it with that skepticism or with that unsureness?
Absolutely, because like gravity, you can believe in it or not believe in it, but it still works. And hypnotherapy is the same. Hypnosis is the same. I'll put it this way. We are being hypnotized all the time. And what I mean by that is we are accepting messages into our subconscious mind that shape what we believe and how we think. And we get these messages from our parents, our cultural upbringing, the media that we watch, the celebrities that we look up to, our Instagram feeds. It's giving us messages all the time and shaping how we think and feel. Think about what, an Instagram feed can make you believe about your own body. And so we are taking in messages all the time. We're just not doing it on purpose. We're not doing it with purpose, and when you're learning a technique like hypnosis, I always say that all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. It's not mind control, and no one can make you do anything you don't want to do. What it really is a relaxed state that allows you to access deeper emotions because our subconscious is where it's our warehouse of memories. It's our emotional mind, right? And so on our day-to-day basis, we really aren't accessing that very much. We're mostly in our conscious thinking mind, we're analytical, we're mostly stuffing that stuff down for good reason because we couldn't function if we were walking around in a highly emotional state all the time. And so it's just a relaxation technique that allows you to access those deeper held emotions, because that's where the work getting really gets done. We can't think ourselves into a new behavior. If we could, it would be much easier. Life would be very easy. You could watch an inspirational talk and say, wow, I agree. I should eat like that and exercise every day. And then you just would. And that would be wonderful. But we all know it's a little bit more complicated than that because we've got our emotional drivers that we have to get in alignment with what we think and feel. You may say, I don't want to eat sugar, it's bad for me. And then your emotions, you have stress, you have habits, you have comfort, and they're more powerful than the thoughts. And when they're in conflict, the one that usually wins is our subconscious, it's our emotions, right? That's what really drives our behavior. And so this is just a way, hypnosis is just a way of helping you access your emotions so that you can create change where the behavior began. And it's not mind control, it's not woo-woo or voodoo. It is simply a technique to help you create that change. I understand that when people see a show on stage, that they have a very different idea about it because people are doing wild, crazy things. But the truth is that it's also been a gift for hypnosis because it has, people see shows, they see clips online, and it engages their imagination. And then they kind of want to know more, even if they're skeptical. It spreads the word.
And so for let's kind of double click on the trauma aspect of this and being able to bring this tool into that container. So with somebody that is, let's say, doing trauma work, like I'm just starting, I just realized like this thing that happened in my past was actually trauma and I want to unpack it. Do you recommend that they do any sort of like, let's say, like traditional talk therapy before going into hypnosis, or can they just jump right into hypnosis?
They can just jump right into hypnosis, but hypnosis is not the solution. It is a tool. And everybody can respond to hypnosis, but hypnosis may not be the right therapy for everybody. And just like talk therapy may not be the right kind of therapy for everyone, there's so many different kind of, some people really respond well to something like Reiki, whereas another person might say, that makes no sense to me, and they wouldn't respond well to it. And so I do, it's safe to do, but it may not be the right tool for you, depending on where you are in your life. But the reason hypnotherapy can be very, very powerful is because it's very targeted, in the memories, and then that are driving that behavior and then helping you find resolution within yourself. However, I always think everybody should use all the tools in their tool belt, and you may want to unpack with your therapist or your traditional therapist the things you worked on in hypnotherapy, right? You may still want to talk and also think about that with your analytical mind and your critical thinking mind as well. And I think they work beautifully together.
Absolutely. I've had a few clients that have been seeing me for sex therapy and then also seeing a hypnotherapist on the side. And I think that that's, again, yeah, I like that you said that it is not the end all be all. It is simply a tool. And I 100% agree. I think there's so many things out there, therapeutically, clinical, not clinical, that people can do to tap into some of this stuff. So really finding what works for you. And I would say, if you have the curiosity around it, that curiosity is, that means something, right? Like listen to the niggle and be able to check it out. And especially if you can find somebody local to you, or you find somebody that does virtual appointments and whatever, I guess, seems to be the person's better fit to tap into this, like whatever they feel most safe with, as you're saying, like what do you have to lose, right? Maybe you go to a session and you'd find out it's not for you. Then at least but maybe you go to a session and for me, it was EMDR. Like I was so curious about EMDR work, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna try this. I'm gonna give this a try. And it was life changing. Like that was it for me. Like that was the thing that worked really well. So hypnotherapy could be your thing, right?
That's right. For me, it really was. And I think it can be useful and a helpful tool for everybody to understand how their subconscious functions and how it can influence your behavior, regardless of if you ever get hypnotized. I think it's so important to at least be more in tune with how your subconscious works so you can recognize these patterns. Like a child is, puts their hand on a hot stove and burns their hand. And then that is how your subconscious learns and makes associations. So then later, when the child sees a fire in the fireplace and they feel the heat, they don't have to touch it because their subconscious says, whoop, that's heat related, that's fire related, it hurts. And the same thing is true, for example, with trauma. So if you, like for me, I was assaulted sexually in college. And that experience worked just the same way. And, even though I would say high functioning afterwards, so I felt consciously like I was fine. But every time I would get into a sexual scenario with another person, I would not be able to orgasm. And a lot at first, until I understood and learned more about hypnosis, this is where I really went wrong. I felt like I was broken, like I was not functioning right and something was wrong. Once I learned much more about the subconscious, I realized that's not true at all. I was working perfectly. My subconscious was making an association that is sex related and that hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is how you are supposed to work. This is how your subconscious mind keeps you safe. And that was the big epiphany for me, just realizing, oh, I'm not broken. This, I'm functioning exactly how I should be. It's just no longer serving me. You know, and there was a time it probably did serve me to sort of, I wasn't ready to have sexual encounters. And there was a time period I was probably reacting and having sex and trying to kind of act out in order to deal with it. But my subconscious mind was saying no, and shutting that down. And that was probably serving me for a while. But then it got to the point later in life where it was no longer serving me. And that's when I realized, oh, I'm not broken. That was a huge epiphany for me. I'm working exactly how I should be. I just need to redirect. You know, I need to do some work to kind of give myself some resolution there. You know, thank you, subconscious. You did a job for me. And now I'm ready for the next part of my life. And I think so many people, when they're dealing with trauma of any kind, sexual or otherwise, feel broken. And when in fact, they're not broken. They're just in a state where your body may be overcorrecting, you know, overprotecting. And knowing, you know, going to therapy, whatever therapies work for you, is so important so that you can create that resolution for yourself and understand too that you are okay and things are solvable and that you can correct those things, but also to appreciate your body and understand it's not really the enemy. It's not actually working against you.
And I think one phrase that I've heard, I don't know who, I'm sorry for, I can't give credit to this, but they said that triggers are our teachers. So often when we're triggered by something, we think, oh, like I need to stay away from this. This is bad. I need to like, right, like fight or flight. I'm out of here. But when you adapt to that mindset of like triggers are our teachers, and it's like, no, your body is trying to teach you something. Your body is trying to point you into a direction of, hey, like check this thing out. Like there's work to do here. And so I think that, again, for me too, like that was a nice shift to be able to see, like for me, it was anxiety when I was feeling anxious. Like what is my body trying to tell me? And yeah, does it know actually that I'm in a not safe position, where consciously I don't realize that I'm in a not safe position, you know, or whatever it was. But so I wanted to ask you, because this, I would say, this is not in the model of, let's say, like Western medicine, you know, classic medicine like that. So for you and your personal journey with this, were there, like, did you ever talk to a doctor about that? And I'm just curious, like, what were you told by more like medical physicians that you obviously, like, that didn't land, right? Like, it was more of this like subconscious stuff that was going on. So I'm curious if you can shed light to that.
Well, I remember, you know, I would go to my gynecologist and ask if there were physical problems, and they would basically just say everything looks fine. You know, I don't, I, and that was sort of where it would end. They would say, go see a, you know, perhaps you should go to a therapist. And that was sort of where it ended, because, and understandably, because that's the end of where they're able. You know, and it is important to go see your doctor, because sometimes there are physiological issues that you need to deal with, especially for a man with an erection, for example. There are often physical issues going on that are affecting erection. So it is really important to go to your doctor first. A pelvic floor PT is something that people are talking about more and more, and I think it's wonderful, because that is also often at the root of a lot of issues when it comes to sex. However, it's important to understand that there's an emotional component, even if it originates with the physical. Because, you know, let's say you go to the doctor and, you know, you're having issues, let's say with erections, a man's having an issue with erections. He goes to the doctor and the doctor may say, oh, well, you need to do Kegels or whatever. This, let's say that's the issue. But for how long has he felt shame? Has he felt anxiety every time it's time to have sex? And you start to, in your subconscious mind, expect failure, right? So when you go into sex and you're like, oh God, I hope I don't fail. I hope I can get it this time. I hope I can get it up. Well, those are not sexy thoughts. And so what is likely to happen is going to trigger, you're going to have esophagitis. And then it validates what you believe to be wrong. And it continues to deepen the strength of that belief system. And so even if there is a physical solution, often there's an emotional component that also needs to be attended to and recognized. And because we rarely, when we deal with issues in our body, we rarely just sort of, it doesn't live in a vacuum. It affects us emotionally, which is, and even in anxiety, because we're a learning machine, our subconscious mind is a learning machine. If you go out in a big crowd one day and you have a little bit of a reaction, you feel a little bit of anxiety, nothing crazy, but you feel a little, and so you leave and you go home from that party. Well, your subconscious mind is like, oh, that's great because you were uncomfortable, therefore in danger, and you left. I got you out of it. That worked. And so then the next time you're in an event and there's a lot of people, your subconscious mind kicks in and a little stronger now. It's like, I know what to do. And then you start to believe, I have a problem with going in crowds. I have an anxiety problem every time I'm in a crowd. And it's a system that just continues to validate itself. And you feel it in your body. Your subconscious goes, I know what this is. And pretty soon you're having panic attacks. And pretty soon you're feeling completely out of control. But the truth is nothing is happening to you. It's happening within you as a response to sort of try to keep you safe. And you have to interrupt that somehow. And the same thing can happen in sex. If you have a few problems physically with your body, it triggers an emotional response, worry and anxiety, which then triggers the physical issue, strengthens it, and pretty soon you have a problem.
So it's essentially like rewiring and breaking the pattern, like stopping, as you said, it like the over time as this keeps happening, happening, happening. It's like that feeling of I told you so, the body saying like I told you so keeps it kick in. It's layering, layering, building up, and it's like no, okay, we got to stop. So I think yeah, for people to get to that point, such as you shared in your story, like to get to that transition of like I'm not broken. This like I can do something about this. I think it, for many people too, it's that sense of taking back your power, like taking back control of your body and of your emotions. Which can in itself really be something just when that shift happens for people. But yeah, as I felt very seen as you were just speaking and talking about how this happens with anxiety, or again, some of the male clients I like that I asked about the medical side of it, because I re recently in the last few months like blew my doctor's mind when talking to him about what I do and talking about ED and things like that. And he's like, well, why do you see men for ED as a sex therapist? I'm like, wait, what? I'm like 90% of the time it's a mental problem, not a physical problem, And he's like, oh, he's like, yeah, I think I'm gonna need your card. Can you leave your cards up front? Because here he was, like, I as you said, like doctors can only do what they're trained to do, right? They can only take you so far. So if you're in your progress and you're feeling like there's still something not going on right, we know ourselves best, right? We have to be our biggest advocates. So I'm loving, again, just loving this conversation. As you said, like use all of the tools in your toolbox and continue to add tools to the toolbox, I think is another piece of this, right? Like for somebody listening, this might be the first time they even heard about hypnotherapy or hypnosis, right? And so again, there's just so many things out there that people can do, and finding what fits for you, finding what works for you.
Absolutely. And I think it's really important to understand that this process of this validation, the physical response in your body, triggering a thought that triggers an emotion, right? Oh, I my, your penis is a little soft, and then you have a thought, oh, what if I, uh-oh, what if I can't get hard, which triggers an emotion, I'm a failure, I'm not a man, which then you have an even bigger physical response, right? And this cycle happens, but it also happens in a positive way. The same cycle can happen in the positive way. It works the exact same, our subconscious mind. It's just a positive validation. And we can also do some of that work consciously. Just takes longer, and it take, you really have to put in the effort. But where I always ask you, where are you putting your focus? For example, just using the erectile dysfunction. So A lot of times people will, a man might say, "Oh, my penis is a little soft. See, I can't get it up." All that. But, instead, it's like, where can you reward yourself? Hey, for a minute or two, I actually, I was able to kind of stay hard. I did lose it, but the first couple of minutes I stayed hard. That's a step in the right direction. See, my penis does. Or even I always ask people, it's like, have you had it? Do you have erections by yourself? If you're a yes, when I masturbate, I'm like, great. Then your penis works.
It
This
works.
is wonderful news. Great job. You don't have a problem. Now we just got to get your emotions in check, right? And so the first thing is to really realize, like, oh, where are the positives that you can do this conscious work? There was a time I decided I wasn't going to drink anymore, and it really was not a. I didn't feel like I had an issue with it. It was just like I decided to do 1 month of not drinking anything and that sort of thing. And then it just kind of kept going. But I realized there were some emotional ties with this as I started going into the process. So it's like, I feel like I don't know what to do with my hands at parties. And you just kind of automatically go get a drink and stand there with it. And so when I was deciding that I was going to just not do it anymore, instead of focusing on not drinking, I focused on things like what I was gaining. Instead of, because we often focus on what we're losing. And it's very hard emotionally to focus on not doing something, like not thinking of a pink elephant, right? Our subconscious does not think that way. If you say, don't think of a pink elephant, you think of a pink elephant. If you say, I'm not going to drink, all your subconscious is thinking about is drinking, or I'm going to quit coffee. And all you're thinking of is not how you can't have coffee. So then it's like, how can I substitute that in the positive? Oh, I'm going to feel fresh tomorrow. I feel really great because I'm not taking in drinking pointless calories. Oh, I'm probably not going to regret anything I say at this party, right? I went home and I feel, I'm going to be able to wake up tomorrow feeling good. No headache, no migraine. That was why it used to trigger migraines for me every once in a while, and it was like not worth it. So that is so important for people to understand how your subconscious works. It does not think in negatives, right? So you have to work with it in positives. You can't think I'm not going to do something. You have to then switch and say, what am I doing? And switch your focus onto what you're doing in the positive and what you're gaining. And as you practice that same positive validation cycle that was once working against you can begin to work for you. And so even if you're not ever going to a hypnotherapist, you can learn so much about how your subconscious works and how to do the work even within yourself.
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned that because I think that that's such a helpful tool too for people just to realize like how important those thoughts and how important those words are that you're speaking to yourself. And you talked about, using this tool for people with body confidence struggles and challenges and things like that. And I'm sure that this can come into handy there or eating. I know you said a lot with eating, weight management, things like that. I've thought about hypnotherapy for myself specifically to stop eating candy. And literally, as I just said it, stop eating candy. So now here I am, I'm like, okay, what am I doing when I'm not eating candy? What am I doing instead? And that's all right.
Right.
I don't know. I got some work to do on that.
So then it's like, what can you supplement? It's like, oh, I'm going to start eating a lot. I'm going to start eating more fruit. I'm going to add, like, what are my favorite for, like, start adding hydration, adding fruit, and don't think about not doing something. Allow yourself to eat candy. It's like, I remember I was quitting coffee, and I decided finally, I'm not going to think about quitting coffee anymore. I'm going to think about adding water to my life. So I started really thinking, how much water should I be drinking? Because I was drinking like way more coffee than water. And when I started really trying to make myself drink like that max amount you're supposed to drink, I didn't have the stomach for coffee anymore. I'd pour a cup and it would just sit there. I'd sip it, but I didn't really. And then within a few days, the physical habit was kicked and the water helped with the headaches, right? And then it was like, now it's just kind of about making choices. But when I focused on gaining something, it was much more effective than focusing on what I'm losing.
My wheels are turning now.
Yeah. And of course, like you said, that works for whatever, whether it's food, whether it's, alcohol, whether it's weight management, whether it's your penis, whether it's your orgasm, the same, this is how your subconscious always functions.
And yeah, too, I think I know we talked a lot about for applying this to people, males, right, with people with penises, but as you said, this all adapted from your experience of not being able to have orgasm and the amount of women that I work with or have worked with over the years, that's why they're coming to sex therapy. Like, again, just knowing that this could be a tool to be able to use with them. And even if it, as you said, it from my knowledge around it, it doesn't have to be a long process. Like, hypnotherapy is something that somebody could do a couple sessions, or especially if they're very focused on what their intention is with it. I believe when people come in with that clarity, work can get done more efficiently and quicker.
Absolutely.
So yeah, as you said, this being able to, now I'm like, okay, I need to find people in my area or people that offer this work virtually so that I can refer some of these people to this before I take it on myself. Because every time I talk about this, I'm like, I need that. There's something I'm like, I need to learn this tool. I want to learn this tool. I think it's really neat.
Yeah, it's I think I wish everybody could learn all these tools. You know, it's like you discover one and you're like, I want to have this for everybody.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Kate, for coming on and talking about this. I know you're not in Michigan, but I would love to, if people want to find you, find information, work with you. Do you offer anything virtually? Or again, people all over listen to the show, so perhaps we have people in the Vegas area.
Yeah, check out my Instagram at Kate Sheeler, KateSheellor, and all my links are there.
Perfect. Sheeler. When I recorded your bio, I was like, I think this is her last name. She'll correct me if I'm wrong. I did.
Everybody says Sheller.
That
At
is
this point,
exactly what
it's
I said.
practically my name now, so it's fine.
Sheeler. Kate Sheeler. Okay. So find you on Instagram, and awesome. So we'll find all of your things there. And as you said, it sounds like you do a lot of content on there. So it sounds like it'll
Yes.
be a good page for people to follow to just even get like that. I love just like little quick bits of information, and not that I have to sit down and watch something for super long. So
Yeah, very digestible, tons of content. So send me a message and say hi and let me know if you have any questions. Anybody that goes there.
cool. Thank you so much again for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. If you loved it, be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And if you really fucking loved it, make sure to tag me on social media at TheRachelMaine. I'll see you next week.